Turn with me in your pew Bibles today, and if you have your own Bible with you, that's great, to Judges chapter 6. And today we're going to learn about a man by the name of Gideon and how the Holy Spirit worked through him. Notice we're in the book of Judges still. And last time we preached on Deborah. And now we're going to look at another judge, and his name is Gideon. And we're going to learn about him and how the Spirit worked in his life and the way that he lived his life as well. God called him to do some pretty amazing things. Now, I can't read you the whole entire story of Gideon and everything that he had done, but we're going to see just a little snippet, and we'll fill in the blanks from there this morning. This is a little bit of a longer read, but I want you to see how God calls him to action and to do the things that God calls him to do and what he does with it. All right? And you might be able to relate very much to this in your life as well. Beginning at verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied. "Excuse me. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of its height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal, that day saying, "Let Baal contend with him." Now all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So they too went up to meet him. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hands as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request." How often have we done this, right? This story is so real to what you and I do. "One more request. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground is covered with dew. And now I'm not going to continue reading, but I'm going to end there. But then Gideon went on and he fought the Midianites and he won. And it's quite the story if you read chapter 7 and 8 of how God used him in a mighty way. So it's just amazing what God did through Gideon. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we've read your word this morning about Gideon's life and how you called him to action through your Holy Spirit, how you prepared him to do great things in his life. Lord, bring this word to life this morning. Give us understanding for our own lives, Lord, and how we should live. Lord, bless those that have gathered here today. May your Spirit fill them. May you open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching and your word today. May these words be yours and never mine, and may you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus I pray these things. Amen. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence 246 years ago. I think Al said that this morning in his message to the children. I want to talk to you this morning about the men that signed this Declaration of Independence and some of the things that they experienced in their life, their families experienced as well. And I want you to see the commitment that they made for this country. And you know, right now our country's in kind of in shambles, and there's all kinds of crazy things that are going on from day to day. But I want you to see the goodness of God through Gideon today. And if we are committed to God, the goodness that he can bring in our lives. That does not mean that you and I will experience hardships or difficulties, but God promises that he'll walk with us through this life. And so let's start with the commitment that these 56 men made this morning. I'm going to give you some highlights. Five of them were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 of them lost their sons in the war. Another had two sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war following the ending of that war. They committed their lives and fortunes for a better America, a better way of life. And so I want to share with you this morning the commitment that Gideon made through the work of the Holy Spirit for a better way of life for his people. Now, at first you might say, wow, this is a rough place that Gideon grew up in, and we're going to learn just a little bit about that this morning. But Gideon was a judge. A ruler or a leader for the people that God had appointed. And of course, you know that God called many judges through that time period with the Israelites. And of course, the Israelites, they believed at different times they were close to God, they followed his ways, and then at different times they fell away severely and they sinned and they worshiped false gods. And we get that cycle in the Old Testament, and even that cycle plays out in our lives as we live a Christian life as well, you and I. And so let's learn just a little bit about Gideon this morning. And maybe you find yourself in one of these places that I'm going to bring up to you today in your own Christian walk. And so what do we need to do? What does that look like in our life? And so also, I think, how many of you ever asked this question? Lord, I need you to show me what you want me to do about a situation, or maybe where you find yourself in life. You're at a crossroads, or you're at a transition, or there's change coming, right? How many of you like the anticipation of change in your life? Anybody love that in your life? No, nobody does. It's uncomfortable. We don't understand it. We don't trust it. And so we see Gideon go through this in his life. So let me ask you another question. How many of you need encouragement a lot to maybe move in a certain direction in your life? Right? Yeah, we need that, don't we? Gideon is that example to us this morning. So let's dig into that this morning. So, Lord, you just think about Gideon's life. He needed several signs of what was right in his life before he'd step out. Let me just mention a few of them. He was encouraged by an angel, right? He was visited by an angel of the Lord. He seen fire from a rock when he brought out the meat and the sacrifice, his offering. He laid out two fleeces to make sure, God, is this really what you want me to do? And then if you read on, he also, a Midianite, he interpreted a dream, and God spoke to him through that as well. You need to move on, Gideon. I'm calling you to do things for your people, for a better way of life, and I want you to move on. Of course, Gideon, he's a little bit slow, and he needed this encouragement along the way. But Gideon was from an unimportant clan, the tribe of Manasseh. And if you read scripture and you follow along with me this morning, he even said that I'm the least in my family. I mean, I'm not capable. Did you catch the word that the angel Lord said what to him when he introduced himself? Gideon, mighty warrior, he says to him. Can you about how he maybe took that in? Being the least in his family, and Manasseh being one of the tribes that was kind of on the low end of the totem pole, the spectrum, in his life. God, you're calling me to do what? To save Israel, your people? To fight a war against the Midianites who are well armed? That's the situation that he was looking at and what he faced. And so, but before we get to that point of the war, I think there's so much that I want to talk to you about this morning. And that's going to be where our message is going to come from. And so he asked him first, I want you to destroy the idolatry in your family and within your tribe. That's the first thing we need to do, is that you got to get back to worshiping God, right, in his life, in his family's life. And maybe you find that yourself this morning, that you need to move ahead, and you need to maybe figure out where you're at in your faith journey this morning. So let me just read just a little bit to you. If you have your Bible open with me this morning, please do that. Then that same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Now let me just tell you, an Asherah pole was probably more likely a tree that was probably made into some kind of a totem pole that they worshipped. It would have been carved out with false gods on it. And of course, they built an altar to Baal. Baal would be a false god, and they'd bring sacrifices to that altar next to this Asherah pole that they worshipped. And I'm assuming it was probably in the center of their village as well, is where they gathered. And of course, this was a false god. The Israelites weren't worshiping God alone. They had these other gods that they worshipped along the way. And so we see this. He gets asked to do this. Now, I want you to think about that in your life, what that meant to him. Go into the middle of the city. You get two of your dad's best bulls. You bring them into town. You destroy the idols that are sitting here. Now, I want you to think about this in a moment. I'm going to give you some ideas. I'm going to bring it from when Gideon was born and alive and what he had to do, and I'm going to bring it to your world today. All right? Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to do here with you this morning, and I'm going to show you some pictures, and I'm going to use a farm scenario first, but let me say this. I'm not picking on you as farmers at all today, because what I'm getting at is most of you farm, and you can relate to what I'm going to tell you. All right? There's a broad scope of things I want to give you today. So when Gideon had to get out the bulls and he had to bring out the rope and he had to pull down the altar, it would have been like this. You get out of bed the next morning and you find out that your biggest, best tractor is hooked to the disc, your corn crop is disc flat, and he burns your tractor. And it's done by your own son. Do you get it? Or this. You get up in the morning, and you love to camp, and you find your camper in the middle of the yard burnt to the ground. And maybe you love your house. You have a newer home and it's decorated how you want it to be. And you go away for the weekend and you come home and your house is burnt to the ground. So what I'm getting at is this morning is, what are the idols that you and I might have in our lives that contend with God? And it can be many different things. I use some common ones because you're used to those things and you can relate to that. It could be your business. Maybe it's your spouse or your children that contend with God and your relationship to God. All right? So when Gideon was asked, hey, go get the two bulls, get the young one, right? It's like, get the new tractor out of the shed and destroy it. Sacrifice it. So let me ask you another question in your life. What idols do you have in your life, and I'm going to use a pretty harsh word here this morning, that need to be destroyed? Now, I'm not telling you to go home and burn your house down. I'm not telling you that what you do for a living is wrong. But where is God in the midst of all of that? Where is he at? That's what Gideon was faced with in his own family. God said, you need to get rid of the idols first, Gideon, with your people, my people, the Israelites. They need to return to me. And the only way that's going to happen is if you go in there and you destroy their idols. So all that's left is for them to worship me. And they're not happy about it, right? What do? They go to Joash's father and they say, you get him out here because we're going to kill him. We're sick of that, right? So when the idol gets taken away, it hurts. It's hard. It's difficult. You're not going to like it. And you are the only one that knows what that idol is. I don't know what it is. God knows what it is, right? And I have them in my life just as much as you have them in yours, by the way. I'm not set apart in that area as a pastor. I mean, we're all affected by it in our lives. And sometimes idols can come and go. They might be different things. Maybe it's how you look, right? Or what you wear that you put your confidence in, that you tend to lean into in your life. And then we get the story about Gideon. Talk about the Spirit working in mysterious ways, right? Of bringing people back to God through his actions. And here's what I want to talk to you about today as well. What he's saying to Gideon is this. If you're going to follow me, I want you fully committed. You need to go all the way for me. And of course, Gideon did. Of course, he had to test that, right? But let me say this, if you're going to be fully committed to God in your life, you're going to get called into some hard, difficult things in your faith journey that you're not going to be comfortable with. It's going to test you. You're going to wonder why. You're not going to like it. You're going to wish you could do something else. And God says, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to get rid of. This is what I want you to say. All by the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so what did Gideon do? If you have your Bible open, Judges 6 verse 27, it's on the screen as well. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and he did as the Lord told him. He went and got the bulls, destroyed the altars, sacrificed the bulls. Got rid of it. So what about you? What are you doing in your life? All right? So let me give you some scenarios that you can do, things to look at in your life. So the first thing is you need to pray that God will give you the courage to do the things that he calls you to do in your life. That God will give you the strength to do those things. And here is some ideas that I want to give you this morning. Gideon had to publicly demonstrate his commitment to the Lord. All right? When you go get the bulls out of the pen and you march up to town and you burn the altars of the false gods, he publicly demonstrated that I'm going to follow God and he's the only one, and here's why. All right? That's like you in your life. When do you get to publicly demonstrate God in your life? And the first thing I think of is that when you make profession of faith and you speak out that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, right? You publicly do that. People see it. They hear it. They know it. But what about the rest of your life? Well, how does that play out from day to day throughout your week when you do business and you're involved in your entertainment and your lifestyle and those types of things? What does that look like? Right? I always like to intertwine things in my personal life in these messages. So this past week, Dory and I, we were down in North Carolina around Raleigh, and we did some farm tours with the FFA, and we had a great week, by the way. But I want to tell you something that struck me when I was in that area, because they call that area the Bible Belt, all right, down in the South. And great families that we met. Farm families and families that are living off the land and they're great Christians. The thing that I was struck by was their public demonstration of how God works in their lives and their farms. We go to these farm visits and these tours, and they would always interject, "Everything comes from the mighty hand of God." Every meal we prayed before the meal. It didn't matter if it was in the restaurant or if we were just in their home or wherever it was. The importance of God is always brought out. And I saw that this week. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I know God's important to you guys. But what I seen down there was way more than what I see here in our area. I'm not saying that you're not a follower of Christ or that your faith is less than. But what I seen was a public demonstration of God in their lives. I mean, we stepped into some good-sized farm operations with all kinds of employees, and the first thing that they'd come with was, you know, God is the one that provides. And by the way, they're in a severe drought right now, worse than we are. Their corn's shriveling up. Their watermelon crop's probably going to be half of what it's supposed to be. But in the end of the day yet, we praise God. We praise God. So I want you to think about the public demonstration of your faith. Like Gideon, what are you doing with that? How does that look in your life from day to day? How does that look in your business? How does that look with your family? And we're going to touch on that just a little bit about Gideon and his family and what he did. How are you publicly demonstrating your commitment to God? What does that look like for you and your family? In your life. Here's a few other things I want to give you this morning that will help you demonstrate that. You can go to Galatians 5 and you got the fruits of the Spirit. You know what they are, but I'm going to give them to you. How do you demonstrate patience, right? How do you demonstrate love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your lives? What does that look like? Because when you publicly profess your faith, those things are very evident in how you live your life, day to day. What do you do with what God calls you to do? Are you doing it? And let me give you some encouragement. The Holy Spirit is always your guide. He goes before you. He prepares you. He gives you what you need when you're called into those types of situations, such as Gideon was asked to do. Here's the great thing about this story as well. The Holy Spirit led Gideon to put his relationship with God above that of his own family. All right? That is hard to do, isn't it? Right? He had to go against his dad, the rest of his family. Remember, they're from the tribe of Manasseh. He probably had uncles and aunts and cousins, and he still did what he did. Got rid of the idols. In his family's life. I mean, you can read the people of his tribe. They're hot. They're mad. Their idol's been taken away. And they don't like it. And you read that in chapters 29 and 30 here this morning. But here's the point. Gideon loved God more than his family. Where are you at this morning in your faith? It doesn't mean that you don't love your spouse or you don't love your kids or your grandkids or whoever. I'm not saying that. But where's your love for God in the midst of this? Because Gideon loved God to that point. He loved God more than his own family and his tribe. You know, and if you look at the story, what Gideon did, it was good for his family. They didn't like it at first because it rocked everything. But in the long run, he brought the tribe back into relationship with God the Father in heaven. He brought them back into that relationship. And I think that's so important for you and I to understand. So here's some more encouragement for you this morning. When you get called into these situations, ask the Lord to help you grow. Pray for those things. Grow in your faith. All right? And ask God that you grow in your faith in such a way that you're willing to sacrifice for maybe your family, your relationships, or even, get this, your cultural traditions. How hard do they weigh in once in a while? Cultural traditions, right? Yeah. Where's God at in the midst of that? Let me show you another example of Gideon's faith. He brought his father back to the faith. Do what he did. All right? Judges 6, verse 31. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's case? Really?" is what he says. You see, Joash got it. He realized what Gideon was up to, that he's calling the people back to God, getting rid of the idols. And Joash understood it. And he stood by his son. He says, "I'm not giving you my son. Baal can defend himself if he's a true God." Because he knew he wasn't. He took that stand for his own son in his life. You know, the kind of things that we're seeing and reading in the story today, they're only done by the Lord. They're done by the moving of the Holy Spirit in Gideon's life. These aren't normal day-to-day activities, right? The things that are going on here, that the story that we're hearing this morning. You know, and so I just encourage you, ask the Lord to move in your heart. Ask the Lord to move in the hearts of your family members. You got any family members that are kind of on the outside of their faith, and maybe you don't see much of them, and they're following Jesus Christ isn't much of a strong point for them? Pray for them. The Holy Spirit led Gideon to teach his people a healthy fear of God. And I think we've lost that healthy fear today in our society. That's a whole nother sermon for another day. But he taught them a healthy fear. And in fact, if you read ahead, I'm going to throw one verse out to you in the middle of the screen, Judges 8, verse 28. During Gideon's lifetime, the land had peace for 40 years. God's people returned to worshiping him, and God blessed them with peace. They conquered the Midianites. They thrived in their families. They worshiped God, and God blessed them for 40 years. And if you read on, when Gideon passed away, they went right back to the false gods. Right away. You can still read it in the end of chapter 8. Went right back to the false gods. But Gideon held them there. He led them. He guided them. And they lived a life of prosperity and peace. Gideon was a great spiritual leader for his family and for his community. And where are you at today? Especially to the men that are here today. How are you leading your families? Are you holding them together? Do they see God work in your life? Are you led by God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are those things happening? Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to guide you in your life. Tomorrow, we mark 246 years as a free nation in this country. those who signed it, their conviction resulted in an untold sufferings that I explained to you earlier for themselves and their families. Today you enjoy that freedom because of their commitment, because of what they sacrificed. And of course we know that many along the way sacrificed for our freedom as well throughout the last couple hundred years. Many have suffered. But here's what I want you to think about today. May our families, our friends, our neighbors see the commitments that we make to God. May they see them. Whether you speak of them or whether it's in your actions, may they see your commitment to Jesus Christ. May you mirror Jesus Christ in your life as you live this out. And may our commitment to follow God, which might involve suffering, by the way, never diminish. Never quit. Never give up. Stay strong in the Lord, just like Gideon did. It's my encouragement to you today. God is good. And all God's people said, let's pray. Lord, we don't know what lies ahead, but we know with the Holy Spirit's leading that we'll never be led astray. Lord, you will give us strength. You will watch over your people. And we pray for that today. Lord, may you watch over your church, our coming and going. Lord, the people that call upon your name, may you give them strength and may you call them to, Lord, publicly profess you in their lives. May they see that we are Christians and we are believers in Jesus Christ, in whom I pray, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning.